Have you ever paused to think about what truly makes the internet function at its deepest levels? Not just the websites you visit, but the intricate web of connections, the invisible security layers, the very backbone that holds it all together. And perhaps even more intriguingly, who's building the next generation of that essential infrastructure? Today, we're taking a deep dive into a company many know, but perhaps few truly understand the ambition of. Cloudflare Inc., under the ticker symbol NET.
And that's really the crux of it, isn't it? This isn't merely a deep dive into another tech company or, you know, just another service provider. We're looking at a fundamental strategic shift in how we access, secure, and even how applications are built and delivered across the entire internet.
Right.
Cloudflare is aiming for something truly significant, a position that could, well, redefine the digital landscape.
Our mission today is to thoroughly unpack a comprehensive Cloudflare investment research framework. We're going to try and extract the most important nuggets of knowledge from it, focusing on how Cloudflare has transformed. For years, many saw them primarily as a content delivery network, a CDN, but they've evolved into what they now boldly call a connectivity cloud.
Connectivity cloud, yeah.
This places them squarely at the intersection of networking, cybersecurity, and the increasingly vital field of edge computing. It's a journey from, well, simply accelerating websites to attempting to become a foundational layer of the internet itself.
Exactly. And throughout this entire deep dive, the central overarching question we'll be wrestling with is this. Can Cloudflare genuinely carve out a permanent, indispensable position as a fourth, truly neutral hyperscaler, standing alongside the established giants like Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud?
The big three.
The big three. Or, despite their ambition, will they ultimately find themselves squeezed by the very companies they seek to both compete with and, in some ways, complement? It's a high-stakes gamble, really.
To help us navigate this incredibly complex and detailed landscape, our source material for this deep dive is, as I mentioned, a comprehensive investment research framework. It's packed with insights into Cloudflare's intricate business model, its evolving market position, its financial health, and of course, its ambitious future potential.
Yeah, it's quite detailed.
We're going to meticulously break down its core components, analyze its competitive landscape from all angles, scrutinize its financial performance, and clearly lay out the significant risks involved. So prepare yourselves, because this is going to be a fascinating journey into the heart of modern internet infrastructure. Let's get right into it.
Okay, so to truly grasp Cloudflare's current strategic position, we need to rewind a bit. Let's go back to 2009 when they first emerged on the scene.
Right, the early days. Their initial mission sounds surprisingly humble now. Simply make websites faster and safer. They achieved this primarily through their content delivery network, which helps content load quicker by caching it closer to users and by offering robust distributed denial of service, or DDoS protection, shielding sites from overwhelming attacks.
Basic building blocks, but crucial ones.
But what's crucial, I think, is that this initial offering allowed them to quietly build out a truly vast and strategically located global network. They were effectively building the nervous system of the internet, piece by piece, neuron by neuron.
And that's the strategic brilliance of their origin story. It wasn't just about providing two services, like you said. It was about laying the groundwork for a much grander long-term vision. Mm-hmm. Over the past decade, Cloudflare has deliberately and systematically leveraged that foundational network. They didn't just stop at CDN. They began layering on increasingly higher value software-defined services on top of that physical infrastructure. This journey has been absolutely transformative, moving them from being a provider of what could arguably be considered a commoditizing service, a basic CDN, into what they are now, a leading connectivity cloud company.
Right.
They're no longer just accelerating, they're connecting, securing, and enabling. It's a much bigger scope.
So this isn't just an incremental product update or a simple expansion. It truly sounds like a fundamental pivot in their entire business identity.
It really is.
The significance of this transformation is huge because they've consolidated all these capabilities onto a unified platform for security, performance, and now even programmability.
Mm-hmm.
But what specifically makes this move a fundamental pivot, not just an incremental product upgrade? And how does that genuinely translate into Cloudflare grabbing a bigger slice of the market or, you know, building a stronger moat against competitors?
Right. Good question. It boils down to creating a singular, cohesive internet operating system, essentially. Think about it. By starting with CDN and DDoS, they built the physical arteries and nerve endings, that global network spanning hundreds of cities.
The infrastructure.
The core infrastructure. Then they realized they could essentially run sophisticated software applications on that very same network to provide far more sophisticated integrated services. The unified platform means customers no longer have to buy separate, siloed solutions from different vendors for their various security, performance, or development needs.
Which must be a huge headache for IT departments.
Exactly. They can get all of it from one vendor on one network managed through one control plane. This dramatically reduces complexity for customers, leading to significant cost savings. More importantly, once customers integrate multiple services, it creates incredibly high switching costs.
Ah, the lock-in factor.
Well, maybe not lock-in in a negative sense, but certainly stickiness. And Cloudflare can now target not just the CDN market, but also massive, rapidly growing cybersecurity budgets, enterprise networking budgets, and even application development budgets. This dramatically expands their total addressable market, or TAM.
Right.
And because these services are all interconnected and inherently optimized on a single global network, it creates efficiencies and capabilities, a kind of data-driven intelligence that are extremely difficult, if not impossible, for competitors to replicate from scratch. It's a genuine architectural advantage.
That makes a lot of sense. It sounds like a very deliberate interlocking strategy, not just a grab bag of services. So let's talk about Cloudflare's product suite, which, as the framework outlines, is organized into three primary deeply integrated pillars.
That's right, the three pillars.
The underlying idea seems to be that customers can adopt one service, perhaps their CDN, and then seamlessly expand their usage across the entire platform, creating these natural, almost gravitational, cross-selling and upselling motions.
That's precisely it. And these aren't just distinct product lines operating independently. They are truly built on the same underlying global network infrastructure and share common intelligence, which is why that synergy you mentioned is so incredibly powerful.
Okay.
It means Cloudflare isn't reinventing the wheel for each product. They're leveraging their core asset, that network, over and over again. Hashtag tag a network and application services, the foundational layer.
Let's start with the foundational layer then.
Yeah.
Network and application services. This is the company's original value proposition and often the entry point for many customers, right?
Exactly.
It's designed to secure and accelerate traditional internet properties like websites, applications, and APIs. It's where they made their name, really.
Indeed. This is where Cloudflare built its initial reputation and gained its massive user base, particularly with small to medium-sized businesses and individual developers. On the performance side, their content delivery network doesn't just cache content like the old days. It uses intelligent algorithms like Argo Smart Routing, which isn't just about the shortest path, but the fastest and most reliable path across the internet, actively bypassing congested networks in real time.
Smart routing, okay.
Yeah, and they offer sophisticated load balancing to distribute traffic efficiently, ensuring sites stay online even under heavy loads, and provide one of the fastest DNS services available globally. DNS, or domain name system, is essentially the phone book of the internet.
The internet's phone book, yeah.
And a fast DNS means quicker lookups and faster initial connection times for users. So it's all about ensuring speed and unwavering efficiency for anything delivered over the internet.
And then there's the security aspect, which, given today's threat landscape, is absolutely critical. How do they protect those foundational layers? What's in the toolkit there?
Absolutely. The security offerings here are incredibly comprehensive and have matured significantly over the years. They include a robust web application firewall, or WAF.
WAF, got it.
Which acts like a bouncer at the door of your web application, inspecting incoming traffic and blocking common web vulnerabilities like SQL injection or cross-site scripting before they can reach your servers.
Crucial protection.
Crucially, they offer unmetered DDoS mitigation. This means they absorb even the largest distributed denial of service attacks, which can literally flood a website with junk traffic without any extra charges. Many other providers charge based on attack size, so unmetered is a significant value proposition.
That's huge. DDoS can be crippling.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, there's bot management to fend off malicious automated bots, API gateway security to protect the interfaces applications use to talk to each other increasingly important, and universal SSL TLS encryption, ensuring all data transmitted between users and your website is encrypted and secure.
So a whole suite working together.
Exactly. All these layers work together in concert to protect against a wide spectrum of cyber threats, from simple exploitation attempts to highly sophisticated large-scale attacks that could take down an entire service or steal sensitive data. #tag tag 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 B say C platform. Cloudflare won the enterprise game changer.
So from that foundational capability of protecting and accelerating websites, it's clear they didn't stop there. That foundational layer became a springboard.
A launchpad, yeah.
And the next pillar, Cloudflare One, their CIC platform, really feels like their big, bold push directly into the core of enterprise networking and security budgets, specifically aiming to replace those often unwieldy legacy corporate networks that are still commonplace today.
It is, without a doubt, a strategic imperative for them and one that taps into an enormous market. Cloudflare One is their Secure Access Service Edge, or SACE, platform.
SACE, yeah. We hear that acronym a lot.
You do. And it's designed to combine network as a service capabilities with a zero trust security model. In practice, zero trust is a radical departure from traditional security. It means assuming no user, no device, and no application, whether inside or outside your corporate network, is inherently trustworthy.
Trust no one. Verify everything.
Essentially, yes. Every single access request for every application from every user and every device requires continuous verification before access is granted. This is a complete paradigm shift from the old trust but verify model, which relied on a strong perimeter. The perimeter is gone. Identity and context are everything now.
That's a fundamental shift in how businesses think about security. It must be challenging for some to adapt.
It is, but it's necessary.
And it sounds like this zero-trust approach delivered via Cloudflare One is gaining serious traction in a high-value market. I recall hearing about the longest-term SaaS contract to date being announced in Q1 2025. That's a significant validation, wouldn't you say? It implies a massive commitment from a large enterprise.
It absolutely is. That kind of long-term commitment from a customer underscores the strategic importance and the confidence enterprises are placing on this new model. This isn't just about securing a website anymore. It's about securing an entire distributed workforce and their applications wherever they may be.
Right.
Within the Cloudflare One platform, you have critical network services that essentially replace traditional hardware. There's Magic WAN.
Magic WAN, catchy name.
They have fun with the names, right. Yeah. Magic WAN allows enterprises to securely connect their entire global network data centers, branch offices, cloud environments, all through Cloudflare's global backbone, essentially creating a private, secure network over the public internet.
Okay.
Then there's Magic Transit, which routes and filters all internet traffic coming into or out of an enterprise's network, providing advanced DDoS protection and firewall capabilities at the network edge. And Magic Firewall offers granular, policy-driven network access control across this entire integrated network. So it's about securing the entire corporate network fabric, no matter its geographic distribution.
So it's truly about securing the connections and the network itself. What about these zero trust components for securing the actual users and devices trying to access applications? How does that piece work?
That's where the granular control and identity verification come in. Their Zero Trust Security Suite includes Cloudflare Access, which provides secure, policy-driven access to applications without needing a traditional VPN.
Ditching the VPN.
Exactly. Instead of connecting to a network, you connect directly to the application based on identity and context. There's Cloudflare Gateway, acting as a secure web gateway that filters and inspects all internet browsing for threats. Remote Browser Isolation, or RBI.
RBI, right.
As an incredible layer of protection by executing web pages in a remote, isolated cloud container far away from the user's device, so if there's malicious code, it never actually reaches your computer. It's like browsing through a secure intermediary.
Very clever.
And Data Loss Prevention, or DLP, helps prevent sensitive information from leaving the organization's control. These components ensure that security policies are enforced for every user and every device, regardless of their location or network, truly embodying that core zero trust principle of continuous verification and least privilege access. This is how they aim to replace the entire legacy network and security stack. #tag tag ShopOC developer platform, the strategic future.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, I think, and arguably their most forward-looking and highest potential play. This developer platform isn't just about protecting or accelerating existing applications. Cloudflare is aiming to be a major player in future application development itself. It feels like a direct challenge to the fundamental way we think about building software.
This is a bold and, I agree, incredibly strategic move. It positions Cloudflare directly against the traditional public clouds for specific and increasingly critical workloads. What they've done is enable developers to build and deploy code directly on their global edge network.
Right at the edge.
This is incredibly compelling for latency-sensitive, globally distributed applications, think real-time gaming, AI inference at the edge, or personalized e-commerce experiences where every millisecond counts. It effectively provides a compelling alternative or a powerful complement to those centralized cloud providers by bringing computation closer to the end user.
And talk about dramatic validation. The largest contract in Cloudflare's history, exceeding $100 million, announced in Q1 2025, was driven specifically by its Cloudflare Workers developer platform.
$100 million.
That's not just big, it's a statement. It's a testament to the fact that enterprises are seeing immense value, not just in their security or networking, but in their compute capabilities.
It truly is a landmark deal, and it signifies a major shift in how large organizations are approaching distributed application development. That kind of commitment from a single customer indicates a strong belief in its capabilities and cost-effectiveness at massive scale.
So what are the key components? What makes Workers tick?
The key components here revolve around Cloudflare Workers for compute. This provides a serverless environment for running code, but what makes it stand out and why it's so revolutionary for performance is its near zero cold start times.
The dreaded cold start.
Exactly. Think of it like this. Traditional serverless functions on other clouds often need to wake up a virtual machine or container when a request comes in, causing a slight delay, a cold start. Cloudflare Workers, however, use a lightweight V8 isolate architecture. Imagine a tiny instant-on process for each request derived from the same engine that runs JavaScript in your Chrome browser, rather than spinning up an entire virtual computer.
Much more efficient.
Massively more efficient. This is what enables them to respond almost instantaneously, which is critical for edge-native applications.
So it's about incredibly fast execution.
Yeah.
And what about storage and other tools for these developers? Because applications need more than just compute, right?
Precisely. You need the whole ecosystem. For storage, they offer R2 object storage, which is a direct zero egress fee alternative to services like AWS S3.
Zero egress fees. That's a big deal.
That's a massive draw for developers because egress fees, the cost of moving data out of a cloud provider's network, can be a significant and often unpredictable hidden cost in traditional cloud environments.
Yeah, those bills can bite you.
They really can. By eliminating egress fees, R2 simplifies cost management and encourages more flexible data architectures. They also have D1, an edge-native SQL database for persistent data, bringing the database closer to the application and user, further reducing latency.
So compute, storage, database.
What else? Beyond compute and storage, they provide a comprehensive suite of developer tools like Cloudflare Pages for deploying static sites and front-end applications, Cloudflare Stream for video delivery, and various AI-focused tools that simplify the process of building and scaling applications directly on the edge.
Got it.
This comprehensive set of offerings aims to make Cloudflare a one-stop shop for developers building modern, globally distributed, latency-sensitive applications. It's about empowering developers to build the next generation of the internet directly on Cloudflare's infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Hashtag TagTagD revenue model and the free tier flywheel.
So how do they actually translate all this incredible technology and strategic positioning into revenue? Cloudflare operates on a recurring revenue model from subscriptions, mostly. Enterprise contracts typically run for 1 to 3 years.
Standard SaaS model, yeah.
But what's truly fascinating, and something Cloudflare is famous for, is their highly effective land and expand model, often starting with free or low-cost plans, and then systematically upselling customers as their needs grow and they see the value.
It's a textbook example of a successful product-led growth strategy, and the numbers clearly bear it out. The success is palpable. In Q1 2025, customers with annualized revenue greater than $100,000 contributed a significant 69% of total revenue.
69%. Wow.
That's up from 67% in the prior year, clearly demonstrating that they're not just acquiring new large customers, but also deeply expanding their relationships and wallet share with their existing high-value clients. This shows a very healthy upmarket motion.
And then there's this free tier flywheel. Mm. It's not just a clever marketing gimmick. It's described in the framework as a vital, almost irreplaceable source of intelligence for the company. How does that really work? What makes it such a unique competitive advantage beyond just customer acquisition?
Okay, this free-tier flywheel is perhaps Cloudflare's most profound and unique competitive advantage, something that no single competitor, not even the hyperscalers, can easily replicate.
Really? Why not?
Because the millions of free customers on Cloudflare's network, from individual bloggers to small businesses, generate an immense volume and diversity of internet traffic. Imagine billions of tiny sensors across the internet constantly feeding Cloudflare's AI. This provides Cloudflare with unparalleled real-time visibility into global internet patterns, emerging cyber threats, and attack vectors. They see a significant portion of the internet's traffic flow, effectively making their network a real-time global threat observatory.
So the free users are feeding the security engine for everyone.
Precisely. This constant stream of data is the lifeblood of their machine learning models, which continuously improves the efficacy of their security products for all customers, both free and paying. It creates a powerful self-reinforcing cycle. More users mean better threat intelligence, which means a smarter, more effective product, which in turn attracts even more users.
A virtuous cycle.
Exactly. This data-driven network effect is incredibly difficult and expensive for any competitor to replicate because it requires an immense scale and diversity of traffic. And what's truly clever is that the very infrastructure they built to handle all this traffic for CDN and security eventually provided the foundation for their developer platform.
So workers grew out of that.
They realized this powerful, programmable network, honed by real-world traffic, could be a platform for others to build on, leading directly to the creation of Cloudflare Workers. It's an incredibly efficient innovation loop, turning their internal infrastructure into a commercial product, constantly refined through real-world internet traffic and intelligence. It's a genuine competitive superpower.
So given all this, what does this multifaceted strategy and these unique advantages mean for Cloudflare's growth prospects moving forward? Their growth isn't tied to just one market. It's propelled by several interconnected domains.
That's right.
This multi-market exposure certainly offers a vast runway, but it also brings a degree of complexity, doesn't it? It's not a simple one-lane road.
It does introduce complexity, absolutely, but the benefits largely outweigh the challenges when you consider that they are riding such powerful fundamental tailwinds across multiple sectors. Cloudflare's total addressable market, or TAM, is really a composite of several large high-growth markets, each undergoing massive transformations.
Okay, let's get into the numbers. What kind of scale are we talking about?
Let's look at some specifics from the research framework, and you'll see the sheer scale of the opportunity. The traditional content delivery network market, which is where they started, is projected to grow from about $25.5 billion in 2024 to an astonishing $132 billion by 2032.
Wow, over $130 billion for CDN alone.
Yep, that's a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of 23.3%. This surge isn't just about more video. It's driven by the explosion of high-resolution video streaming, the continued dominance of e-commerce, the rapid expansion of online gaming, and the emerging demands of interactive 3D environments and even early metaverse applications, all demanding ultra-low latency and greater global reach.
That's a huge jump for CDN alone, a market some once thought might slow down and commoditize. What about the broader cybersecurity landscape? That's a constant concern for every business.
Cybersecurity as a whole is indeed a foundational and massive market, projected to grow from $193 billion in 2024 to $240 billion by 2026, a roughly 12.5% CAGR there.
Still huge growth.
Huge. And this growth is directly fueled by the relentless rise of sophisticated cyber threats, increasingly stringent regulations that mandate better security practices, and the widespread ongoing adoption of cloud-based infrastructure. And within that, cloud security, a segment highly relevant to Cloudflare's Cloudfly One platform, is projected to grow even faster from $9 billion in 2024 to $22.6 billion by 2028. That's a staggering CGR of nearly 26%.
26% CGR for cloud security.
Okay. This is largely driven by the increasing complexity of hybrid cloud environments and the need for new solutions like cloud security posture management, or CSPM, and cloud workload protection platforms, or CWPP.
And then there's edge computing, which we discussed with Cloudflare Workers. That seems like a monumental foundational shift. How big is that market?
It absolutely is, and it's a massive market expanding from $60 billion in 2024 to over $110 billion by 2029, a solid 13% CGRR. This is propelled by the proliferation of IoT devices, the growing demand for real-time AML workloads at the point of data generation, and the insatiable demand for ultra-low latency applications.
Oh, man.
And a particularly fast-growing niche that Cloudflare is well-positioned for is API security. Remember, we talked about their API gateway.
Yes.
This segment is expected to surge from around $823 million in 2022 to nearly $4.9 billion by 2030 at a phenomenal 32% CAGR.
32%. Wow. Why so fast?
Because modern applications are no longer monolithic. They're built as constellations of interconnected services talking via APIs. As API proliferation continues with cloud and mobile apps, securing those connections becomes paramount. It's a massive attack surface if not managed properly.
Those numbers really paint a picture of immense compounding growth across the board. It truly emphasizes how Cloudflare's strategic products like Cloudflare One and Cloudflare Workers aren't just incremental additions. They align directly with these fastest growing segments like cloud security, API security, and edge computing. They're clearly in the right place at the right time, with products built for tomorrow's internet, it seems. Hashtag Shackhead BKK. Key secular tailwinds. Why demand is sustained. Beyond just market size, though, there are some profound, almost irreversible shifts happening in technology and business operations that are creating sustained, almost inherent demand for Cloudflare services.
Yeah.
What are these big picture trends that make Cloudflare's position so compelling?
There are three major secular tailwinds that absolutely stand out, and Cloudflare's position to ride each one. First, and arguably the most foundational, is the inevitable shift to zero trust.
We keep coming back to that.
Because it's fundamental. As we discussed earlier, the traditional perimeter-based security model, the castle and moat approach, is completely obsolete. It simply doesn't work in a world of remote work, ubiquitous cloud applications, and sophisticated persistent cyber threats.
The perimeter dissolved.
It's gone. The industry is fundamentally migrating to zero trust, where you assume no user or device is trustworthy, and every access request requires continuous dynamic verification. This isn't just a best practice anymore, it's becoming a mandate, driven by government agencies, and even being embedded into the core platforms of the hyperscalers themselves.
All right.
Cloudflare One is purpose-built for this very transition, making them a primary beneficiary of what will be a multi-year enterprise-wide security refresh cycle. It's not just a nice-to-have, it's rapidly becoming a must-have for any organization serious about security.
So it's a fundamental architectural shift that they are uniquely prepared for.
Right.
What's the second major tailwind?
The second is the gravitational pull to the edge. We're seeing an explosive proliferation of Internet of Things or IoT devices, everything from smart sensors to autonomous vehicles. Coupled with that, there's the rise of powerful MLR workloads that need to process data where it's generated and an insatiable demand for real-time applications that simply cannot tolerate latency.
Things that need instant response.
Exactly. All of this is creating an untenable strain on centralized cloud infrastructure. The laws of physics, to put it simply, dictate that you can't defy the speed of light. To overcome latency and process data efficiently, computation and data processing must move from centralized data centers closer to the end users and devices to the network edge.
Makes intuitive sense.
Cloudflare's global network, with its points of presence in over 300 cities and those 12,000-plus network interconnections, is a natural, perfectly positioned platform for this new computing paradigm. Their Workers platform is specifically designed to capture these edge-native workloads, and management even expects this trend to accelerate dramatically with the advent of autonomous AI agents requiring near-instantaneous local processing. This isn't just an optimization, it's a re-architecture of computing itself.
That sounds like a monumental, almost inevitable transformation in how the internet is even structured and where computation happens. And third tailwind, what's driving demand from another angle?
The third is the ascendancy of the developer. The global developer population is growing at an incredible pace, and these developers are increasingly influential in technology purchasing decisions, often more so than IT departments these days.
Bottom-up adoption.
Exactly. Modern applications are built using a constellation of third-party APIs and services, and developers naturally gravitate toward platforms that offer superior performance, ease of use, predictable pricing, and robust productivity gains.
Things that make their lives easier.
Precisely. Cloudflare's strategic focus on the developer experience with its Workers platform offering near zero cold starts, transparent pricing with no egress fees, and extensive high-quality documentation is a direct attempt to win the mind share and loyalty of this critical constituency. This approach can create a powerful grassroots adoption motion where developers within an organization start using Cloudflare on their own, and its utility then spreads upward, ultimately penetrating organizations from the bottom up. It creates virality within enterprises.
Now, let's talk about something that might, at first glance, seem like a major challenge, but could actually be a significant competitive advantage for Cloudflare. The fragmented global regulatory landscape, with increasingly strict data localization and sovereignty laws, like the EU's GDPR or India's data residency rules.
Yes, the regulatory maze.
These regulations can cause huge operational and financial burdens for multinational companies, often forcing them to duplicate expensive infrastructure and increasing their IT spending by 30 to 60%. Sounds like a nightmare for global businesses.
You're absolutely right. At first glance, this looks like a massive headwind for any global company. It forces organizations to build disparate, often inefficient infrastructure, creating fragmented data environments and increasing compliance costs exponentially.
Yeah, right.
But this is precisely where Cloudflare has managed to turn a significant burden for enterprises into a powerful, compelling competitive advantage for themselves. Instead of needing to build separate, expensive infrastructure in every single region to comply with local laws, a global enterprise can simply leverage Cloudflare's single, unified global network.
Okay.
They can then dynamically configure policies at the edge using specialized tools like the Cloudflare Data Localization Suite.
So they can essentially tell Cloudflare, hey, all my European user data needs to stay in Europe. Or my data from Japan must be processed only within Japan, and Cloudflare's network intelligently handles that without them having to deploy entirely new infrastructure.
That's exactly it.
That's incredibly powerful for compliance.
It is. This allows them to ensure, for instance, that all data originating from their European users is exclusively handled and processed within Cloudflare's European data centers, thereby satisfying strict regulatory requirements like GDPR without having to spin up completely separate instances of their applications or databases. But here's the crucial part. They achieve this without sacrificing the benefits of a unified global architecture.
So they get compliance and de-simplicity.
Precisely. They don't have to manage multiple vendors or disparate systems, which is a common challenge for compliance. This capability elevates Cloudflare's offering from just a technical IT tool to a strategic solution for global risk management, regulatory compliance, and business agility. It makes them an indispensable partner for multinational corporations navigating this increasingly complex and fragmented legal landscape. It truly transforms a potential regulatory burden for customers into a compelling value-added competitive advantage for Cloudflare.
It's clear Cloudflare has built something unique. But as with any company playing at this scale, the competitive environment is uniquely complex because its platform spans performance, security, and developer tools.
Yeah, they're fighting on multiple fronts.
It means they're not fighting just one battle. They're fighting what's been aptly called a three-front war. That sounds incredibly challenging to manage.
It absolutely is a perfect description. They operate across distinct yet often overlapping competitive arenas, and each front has its own set of formidable opponents. The first front is against direct CDN and edge competitors. This is Cloudflare's traditional battleground, where they go head-to-head with established players like Akamai and Fastly, both strong incumbents.
The old guard, in a way.
Yeah. And the native CDN offerings from the hyperscalers themselves, like Amazon CloudFront, Azure CDN, and Google Cloud CDN. Here, the competition is largely focused on raw network performance, global reach, reliability, and, increasingly, price. It's a crowded space.
And then, as they mature and move further into enterprise solutions with things like Cloudflare One, they inevitably face the established security specialists. That's a whole different kind of fight, isn't it?
Right. The second front is against powerful security specialists. As Cloudflare pushes its Cloudflare One SaaS platform, it directly competes with cybersecurity leaders who have deep, specialized expertise and long-standing relationships with CISOs. We're talking about companies like Zscaler, CrowdStrike, Palo Alto Networks, and Okta.
Big names in security.
Huge names. This battle is for the Chief Information Security Officers, or CISO's budget, which is significant, and it centers on who can provide the most comprehensive, integrated, and effective zero-trust and SASE solutions. These are companies with decades of experience in the security world.
And the third front, which feels like the biggest long-term one, the one that defines whether they truly become a fourth hyperscaler, is against the hyperscale cloud providers themselves. How do you fight giants like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud?
Precisely. The cloud infrastructure hyperscalers, AWS, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud represent both the most significant long-term competitive threat and, interestingly, a strategic opportunity. Cloudflare directly competes with their edge compute services, like AWS Lambda at Edge, and many of their security offerings, such as AWS WEF or Azure Firewall.
So direct competition there.
Direct competition, yes. However, and this is critical to Cloudflare's entire thesis, Cloudflare simultaneously positions itself as a neutral, multi-cloud fabric that can sit in front of any and all of these clouds.
The neutrality play.
This is a crucial differentiator. They protect customers from vendor lock-in with a single hyperscaler and allow them to manage their internet presence, security policies, and application performance consistently across diverse cloud providers or even hybrid on-premise environments. It's an interesting dance between competition and complementarity. Hashtag #chadtag behead. Head-to-head analysis and market share.
So that's the strategic overview. Let's dig into some specific, concrete comparisons. How does Cloudflare stack up against these different players in terms of actual market share and technical capabilities?
Sure.
What does the data show?
Well, the CDN market share data is quite fascinating, presenting what I'd call a bifurcated picture. According to W3Techs, which looks at web technology usage, Cloudflare holds a commanding 80.7% market share among known reverse proxy services based on the sheer number of websites served.
80%, that's dominant.
It's remarkable dominance, largely thanks to its massive and incredibly popular free tier, which has attracted millions of smaller sites, personal blogs, and experimental projects. It's a testament into their product-led growth.
Okay.
However, when you look at revenue or the actual traffic volume from the largest enterprises and high-value content providers, the picture shifts. Akamai has historically been the undisputed leader in that segment, serving a much larger share of the top 1,000 or 10,000 global websites.
So breadth versus depth.
Exactly. This illustrates a key dynamic. Cloudflare has unparalleled breadth across the internet, serving a huge volume of smaller sites, while incumbents like Akamai have historically had greater depth and wallet share in the highest spending large enterprise accounts. It's a land grab on different fronts.
That makes a lot of sense. What about their competition in the zero trust and SaaS space, specifically against Zscaler, who's often seen as the pure play leader there?
Right, Zscaler. Hmm. They're widely considered a pure play leader in zero trust security, often seen as the gold standard for enterprise-grade secure web gateways and private access. They are typically viewed as a premium, feature-rich, and deeply specialized solution.
The focus specialist.
Correct. Cloudflare, on the other hand, competes with a more integrated, platform-based approach that deeply leverages its existing global network and its position as a network service provider. User reviews and industry analysis suggest that Cloudflare's strengths lie in its combined CDN DDoS protection, its broad platform capabilities, and its overall ease of deployment and lower total cost of ownership, especially for customers already using other Cloudflare services.
Integrated platform advantage.
Exactly. Zscaler, however, is often favored for dedicated VPN replacement and its deeper, more mature zero trust feature set, particularly for large, complex enterprises that prioritize security depth above all else. So it's a battle of comprehensive, integrated platform versus specialized, best-of-breed depth.
And how about CrowdStrike, another absolute giant in the security space? Is that more of a head-on collision or something else? How do they interact?
The relationship with CrowdStrike is actually more complementary than competitive, which is an important distinction. CrowdStrike is a leader in endpoint security, focusing intensely on protecting the device itself, your laptop, your server, your virtual machine.
Protecting the device.
Right. Cloudflare, conversely, focuses on protecting the network and the applications accessible over the internet, essentially securing the path to the data. The two platforms can actually integrate quite powerfully to create a truly robust layered defense.
How so?
For example, security signals from a CrowdStrike protected device, like its security posture or detected threats, can be used by Cloudflare to make dynamic, risk-based access decisions for that user trying to access an application through Cloudflare Access.
Oh, so they talk to each other.
Exactly. This partnership creates a much more robust end-to-end zero-trust solution for mutual customers, effectively securing both the device and the network path to the application. It's a better together story.
Finally, let's get into the developer platform again. How does Cloudflare Workers, their edge compute offering, compare head-to-head with the hyperscalers' equivalent services, like AWS Lambda at Edge? What are the trade-offs there?
Okay, when comparing Cloudflare Workers to AWS Lambda at Edge, which is a key competitor in the serverless edge compute space, there are some clear trade-offs and distinct advantages for each. Cloudflare Workers are widely praised for their performance, particularly those near zero cold start times we talked about.
The V8 isolates.
Right, the V8 isolates. This unique architecture, combined with a simple, predictable pricing model that notably excludes egress fees.
Zero egress fee again.
Makes Workers incredibly cost-effective for high-frequency, low-complexity tasks like API authentication, real-time data transformation, or A/B testing at massive scale. In contrast, AWS Lambda at Edge offers broader language support beyond just JavaScript, including Node.js, Python, and Java, providing more flexibility for developers.
Okay, more language choice.
And its biggest strength is its deep native integration with the vast ecosystem of over 200 other AWS services. This makes Lambda at Edge a more suitable choice for complex workloads that are already deeply embedded within the AWS environment and need seamless interaction with other AWS services.
So it depends on your needs and existing stack.
Pretty much. If you're all in on AWS, Lambda at Edge might be a natural fit. But if you prioritize raw performance, cost predictability, and cloud neutrality, Cloudflare Workers offer a very compelling alternative. #CJ. Cloudflare's competitive moat durable advantages.
So despite all this intense competition across multiple fronts, Cloudflare has clearly cultivated some really durable advantages that make their position defensible. What are these key differentiators that allow them to stand out and build a lasting competitive moat? What keeps them in the game?
They absolutely have. First and foremost is their massive interconnected global network. The sheer physical and logical scale of Cloudflare's network is an almost insurmountable barrier to entry for any potential competitor. It spans over 300 cities globally and directly interconnects with over 12,000 other networks.
12,000 interconnections.
Yeah. This provides the foundational layer for superior performance, unparalleled resilience, and critically unique real-time security intelligence derived from seeing a massive portion of global internet traffic. To replicate this infrastructure would require immense capital expenditure, years if not decades of sustained effort, and the diplomatic savvy to secure all those interconnections. It's a truly formidable barrier that few, if any, could overcome.
That network seems to be at the heart of everything they do. It powers everything else. What else makes them so sticky?
Second is their integrated platform and unified control plane. The ability for a customer to manage everything from performance, their CDN, to comprehensive security, like the WAF and Zero Trust solutions, to application development with Workers, all from a single intuitive dashboard, is a powerful differentiator.
One pane of glass.
Exactly. This significantly reduces complexity for overwhelmed IT and security teams who typically have to stitch together multiple point solutions from different vendors. It lowers the total cost of ownership, streamlines operations, and critically, once a customer has integrated multiple Cloudflare products, it creates very high switching costs. It's much harder and more disruptive to rip out and replace an entire integrated platform than a single standalone product.
And that leads into the powerful network effect we talked about earlier, right? The free tier flywheel isn't just about customer acquisition. It builds into this moat.
Absolutely. The third advantage is that network effect and innovation flywheel. As we discussed in detail, the immense volume and diversity of data flowing through Cloudflare's network, fueled by its free tier, creates a self-improving system for its security products and for its entire platform. This virtuous cycle of data-driven improvement is a unique architectural advantage.
Smarter with every user.
Pretty much. Every new user and every new threat detected makes the platform smarter, more resilient, and more effective for everyone. It creates a compounding benefit that's incredibly difficult for competitors to replicate because they lack that same broad visibility into global internet traffic. It's a living, evolving intelligence system that constantly makes the product better.
Finally, their stated position of cloud neutrality really feels important, especially as enterprises try to avoid being locked into any single vendor. That seems like a key differentiator.
It is, and it's their fourth key moat, cloud neutrality. By remaining fiercely independent and meticulously compatible with all major cloud providers, AWS, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud, Cloudflare positions itself as an essential neutral layer for the increasingly multi-cloud and hybrid cloud world.
The Switzerland of the cloud wars.
Kind of, yeah. This appeals strongly to enterprises that are actively seeking to avoid vendor lock-in with a single hyperscaler. It allows them to maintain consistent security, performance, and development policies across their entire hybrid IT environment, regardless of which underlying cloud or even on-premise infrastructure they are using. This neutral stance makes them a trusted partner, not another competitor trying to pull you into their specific cloud ecosystem. It's a promise of strategic freedom, and that resonates deeply with large organizations.
Okay, let's shift gears and dive into the numbers. Cloudflare's financial profile is pretty characteristic of a high-growth tech company that's successfully navigating the crucial transition toward sustainable and, importantly, self-funded profitability. It's not just about growth for growth's sake anymore, is it?
That's a very accurate summary. They're definitely showing signs of maturing financially. Looking at the specifics, in Q1 2025, Cloudflare reported total revenue of $479.1 million, which represents a robust 27% year-over-year increase.
27% growth.
Still strong.
Very strong. And this isn't an anomaly. It's part of a very consistent multi-year pattern of strong top-line growth. Their full-year revenue has climbed significantly from $975 million in 2022 to an impressive $1.67 billion in 2024. This trajectory demonstrates consistent execution on their growth initiatives.
And it's not just growth confined to the U.S. market. They're expanding globally, aren't they? The research framework highlights that the U.S. market is actually gradually decreasing its contribution, while other regions are growing faster, which is often a sign of healthy diversification.
That's a very important nuance, and it highlights the success of their international expansion strategy. While the United States remains their largest market, its contribution to total revenue has gradually decreased from about 53% in fiscal year 2022 to just under 51% in fiscal year 2024.
During that same period, the EMEA region, Europe, Middle East, and Africa grew its share from 26.5% to nearly 28% of total revenue. Even more telling, international regions like EMEA, Asia-Pacific, and the other category all showed faster year-over-year growth rates from 2023 to 2024, ranging from a robust 31% to nearly 40%.
40% growth internationally, that's significant.
It clearly indicates a very successful and increasingly diversified international expansion strategy, which is critical for long-term sustainable growth given the size of the domestic market. It means they're not putting all their eggs in one geographical basket.
So if that's the top-line revenue, the real engine of Cloudflare's growth and a key indicator of their strategic pivot is really about attracting and then expanding their high-value enterprise customers. What do the customer metrics tell us about that specific upmarket strategy? Is it working?
They tell a compelling story of accelerating upmarket momentum. The number of large customers, which Cloudflare defines as those contributing over $100,000 in annualized revenue, grew a healthy 23% year-over-year to 3,527 in Q1 2025.
Over 3,500 customers spending six figures.
Exactly. This is a significant pool of high-value clients. But even more indicative of their success in targeting the very top end of the market, the number of their largest customers, those paying over $1 million per year, grew by an impressive 47% year-over-year to 173 in Q4 2024.
47% growth in million-dollar-plus customers. That's really moving up market.
It clearly demonstrates they're not just expanding within the enterprise segment, but successfully breaking into and growing their relationships with the largest global corporations, often with multi-million dollar, multi-year contracts.
And what about the dollar-based net retention rate, or DBNRR? That's a key metric for SaaS companies that measures how much existing customers are growing their spend. It was 111% in Q1 2025, which was flat compared to the previous quarter. But what does that truly signify? Some might look at a flat or slightly declining DBNRR and see a red flag. Is that a fair assessment for Cloudflare right now?
That's a crucial point. And interpreting DBNRR in isolation can indeed be misleading for Cloudflare right now, particularly given their evolving go-to-market strategy. While 111% is certainly above 100% and indicates healthy expansion from existing customers, it has trended down from historical highs, which were closer to 125%.
Right, so it was down a bit.
It is. However, this may actually be a lagging indicator that doesn't fully capture their current enterprise momentum. Historically, their land and expand model involved landing smaller initial deals and then growing them significantly over time, a dynamic perfectly captured by a high DBNR.
Makes sense.
But now, Cloudflare is increasingly executing a land and platform strategy. They are signing massive, multi-year, multi-product contracts from the outset. Think about that $20 million deal with a Fortune 100 tech company or the record-breaking $100 million workers deal we discussed.
Those huge initial deals.
Exactly. These very large initial contracts inherently have less room for percentage-based expansion in the first 12 months simply because the initial contract value is so high already. You can't double a $100 million deal in a year as easily as a $100,000 one.
Good point.
Therefore, DBNRR might not fully capture their rapid enterprise penetration. A more telling metric, as management has noted, is the net new annual contract value, or ACV, which actually hit a three-year high in Q1 2025. This, combined with the rapid 47% growth in their over $1 million customer cohort, paints a much more bullish and nuanced picture of their enterprise health and their ability to capture large foundational deals. #TagTagTagC, the path to profitability.
Beyond just top-line growth and customer acquisition, a critical milestone for any maturing tech company is demonstrating a clear and consistent path toward sustained profitability. Cloudflare seems to be achieving that, at least on a non-JAP basis.
Absolutely. Their business model inherently supports high margins due to the software-defined nature of their services delivered over a largely fixed-cost global network. Their non-GAAP gross margin was 77.1% in Q1 2025, which is comfortably above their long-term target range of 75% to 77%.
77% gross margin. That's fantastic for tech.
It is. It reflects the efficiency and scalability of delivering high-value services. They're not building a new data center for every new customer. They're simply leveraging their existing global footprint more effectively.
And how about their operating leverage? Is their revenue growing faster than their expenses? Are they becoming more efficient?
That's precisely what we're seeing. Cloudflare is effectively scaling its operations and demonstrating significant operating leverage. Yeah. Non-GAAP operating income reached $56.0 million, translating to an 11.7% margin in Q1 2025.
Almost 12% non-GAAP operating margin.
Right. This trend of expanding operating margins indicates that their revenues are indeed growing faster than their operating expenses, which is the hallmark of a scalable and financially healthy business model. As they add more customers and more revenue to their existing infrastructure, the incremental cost of serving those customers decreases, leading to higher profitability per dollar of revenue.
But it's important to clarify for our listeners, they are still GAAP unprofitable, right? What's the reason for that distinction, and should investors be concerned? Is it just paper losses?
That's a crucial point for investors to understand the full financial picture. Yes, the company does remain unprofitable on a GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, basis, reporting a GAAP operating loss of $53.2 million in Q1 2025. The primary reconciling item between their positive non-GAAP profitability and their GAAP loss is stock-based compensation.
Ah, stock-based comp, the usual suspect.
It is. This is a significant non-cash expense that is very common among high-growth technology companies. They frequently use it to attract and retain top talent by issuing equity as part of compensation packages, which avoids immediate cash outflows. So while it impacts GAAP earnings, it doesn't represent cash burn from day-to-day operations. For many growth investors, non-GAAP metrics are often more closely watched for precisely this reason, as they reflect the underlying operational profitability of the business, excluding non-cash items like stock comp, #tag tag D, cash flow dynamics, and balance sheet strength.
One of the most significant milestones for Cloudflare's financial maturation has to be their consistent generation of positive free cash flow. This is a real sign of a company coming of age, moving from a pure growth story to a self-sustaining entity, wouldn't you say?
It is indeed a vital sign of financial health and maturity. In Q1 2025, Cloudflare generated $52.9 million in free cash flow, representing a healthy 11% of their revenue. This consistent ability to self-fund their operations, their R&D, and their growth investments provides them with significant financial flexibility.
11% FCF margin.
Nice. It reduces their reliance on external capital markets for funding, which is particularly valuable in uncertain economic environments. It truly shows that the underlying business is generating real cash from its operations, which is the ultimate proof of a viable business model.
And beyond just generating cash, they're sitting on a very strong balance sheet too, with almost $2 billion in cash and equivalents as of the end of Q1. That gives them a lot of optionality, doesn't it? Strategic flexibility.
Absolutely. As of March 31st, 2025, they had $1.91 billion in cash, cash equivalents, and available for sale securities. This provides them with a substantial war chest for future strategic initiatives. Furthermore, Cloudflare has been quite opportunistic in its financing strategy. They recently announced a private offering of $1.75 billion in 0% convertible senior notes due in 2030.
0% converts. How does that work?
It essentially means they borrow $1.75 billion with no interest payments for 6 years, though the lenders can convert the debt into equity under certain conditions later on. This provides a large tranche of incredibly low-cost capital that can be deployed to accelerate their strategic initiatives, whether that's further R&D, expanding their sales force, or even small strategic acquisitions. It's a very strong and flexible financial position, allowing them to continue investing heavily in growth without significant debt servicing costs.
So with a strong balance sheet and positive cash flow, how is Cloudflare fueling its continued ambitious growth? Sounds like relentless innovation through R&D is their primary engine. They're effectively building their future right now.
It absolutely is the core driver. Research and development is the fundamental engine behind Cloudflare's growth and its ability to expand into new, high-value areas of its total addressable market. The company consistently invests a significant portion of its revenue back into R&D, with that expense running at approximately 25% to 27% of revenue in recent quarters.
25 to 27% of revenue back into R&D. That's a huge commitment.
It is. And while this level of spending is a near-term drag on GAAP profitability, it's the fundamental driver of their long-term competitive differentiation and ensures they stay ahead in a rapidly evolving market. They're not just iterating. They're constantly pushing the boundaries of what their platform can do.
And you can really see the results of that massive investment in their product velocity, right? They seem to announce new features or entire product lines constantly, especially during their innovation weeks.
Precisely. The output of this significant investment is an incredibly high velocity of product innovation. If you look at their changelog, their What's New page, or follow their frequent Innovation Week announcements where they unveil a slew of new products and features, simultaneously you'll see a constant stream of platform enhancements and entirely new capabilities.
They move fast.
Incredibly fast. This rapid development cycle, which is enabled by the company's own highly programmable platform, is a core part of their strategy to outmaneuver larger, potentially slower-moving competitors. They can iterate and deliver new capabilities at a speed and scale that few others can match, leveraging their existing global infrastructure rather than starting from scratch each time. It allows them to experiment, fail fast, and quickly bring successful innovations to market. #B. Go-to-market, GTM, evolution, moving upmarket.
Beyond just product innovation, though, a key strategic shift we've seen has been their deliberate effort to move upmarket and really win those large, high-value enterprise accounts.
That sounds like a big change in their sales approach, requiring a different kind of GTM muscle.
It has been a critical pivot and one that has been demonstrably successful. A significant move in this direction was the hiring of Mark Anderson, a seasoned enterprise sales leader with a track record at companies like Palo Alto Networks as president of revenue.
Bringing in the enterprise expertise. Exactly. The impact of his leadership change has been tangible and swift. Cloudflare has reported 5 consecutive quarters of double-digit year-over-year increases in sales productivity. This means their sales team is becoming significantly more efficient at closing deals. They've also significantly ramped up the hiring of enterprise-focused account executives who specialize in those larger, more complex deals.
So the investment in enterprise sales is paying off.
It appears so. This improved go-to-market execution is directly correlated with the record-breaking large customer wins and net new annual contract value growth we've seen in recent quarters. It's clear that their investment in building a robust enterprise sales capability is truly paying off.
And they're also strategically expanding into channel partnerships.
Right.
Not just direct sales anymore, leveraging others.
Yes. In addition to strengthening their direct sales force, Cloudflare is intelligently expanding its channel partner strategy. They are actively building alliances with global system integrators, or GSIs, like NTT and Kyndryl.
The big integrators.
Right. These partners have incredibly deep relationships and broad reach within the world's largest enterprises, often acting as trusted advisors. These partnerships allow Cloudflare to effectively leverage the GSI's existing sales force, professional services capabilities, and extensive client networks to penetrate new accounts and markets more effectively, reaching customers they might not otherwise engage directly or as quickly. It's an efficient way to scale their enterprise reach without needing to build every single sales and service capability in-house. #C, capital allocation framework growth oriented. Cloudflare's capital allocation strategy is quite straightforward and, as you'd expect for a company in their stage, highly growth oriented. Their absolute top priority is clearly reinvesting capital back into the business.
Makes sense. Where does the money go?
This investment is primarily bifurcated into two key areas. Research and development, as we just discussed, to fuel product innovation and maintain their technological edge, and sales and marketing to expand that go-to-market engine, win new customers, and deepen relationships with existing ones. It's all about fueling growth.
So it's all about reinvesting every dollar for future growth. But are they efficient with that capital? Especially when it comes to sales and marketing, that can be a huge drain for many growth companies if not managed well.
There's clear evidence of increasing efficiency, particularly in their sales and marketing spending. The S&M expense as a percentage of revenue actually declined to 38.3% in Q1 2025, down from 41.4% in the prior year quarter.
So S&M is becoming a smaller piece of the revenue pie.
Exactly. When viewed alongside the simultaneous increase in Salesforce productivity that we just highlighted, this suggests a highly effective and disciplined deployment of capital within their go-to-market function. They're getting more bang for their buck, indicating improved sales processes and better targeting of high-value accounts.
And what about acquisitions? Do they buy companies to grow their capabilities, or is it mostly organic R&D?
Their approach to mergers and acquisitions has been one of small strategic tuck-in acquisitions. The company has historically acquired smaller firms primarily to gain specific technology, intellectual property, or engineering talent that can be quickly integrated into its existing platform and accelerate product roadmaps.
Like buying key technologies or teams.
Precisely. Examples include the purchases of Area 1 Security for bolstering their email security offerings and Kivera for enhancing their cloud security posture management capabilities. This disciplined approach is designed to supplement, rather than replace, their robust organic R&D efforts. They're buying puzzle pieces, not entire new businesses.
And for shareholders, does this growth-oriented strategy mean dividends or share buybacks are off the table for now? Or are they still in full reinvestment mode?
As a high-growth company, still very much in a capital-intensive phase of building out a global network and an expansive product portfolio, Cloudflare does not currently pay a dividend and has not announced any share buyback programs. All available capital is being reinvested back into the business to capture the large, multi-front market opportunity they see ahead.
Got it.
The shareholder return strategy is implicitly through capital appreciation as the business scales and matures over time.
Now let's tackle the elephant in the room for many investors, Cloudflare's valuation. It's a central point of debate because the company consistently trades at a significant premium to its peers, even other high-growth SaaS companies. What does this tell us about how the market views Cloudflare? Is it justified or is it purely speculative?
It tells us that the market has exceptionally high expectations for Cloudflare's future, indeed. On nearly every relative valuation metric, Cloudflare appears expensive, even against other high-growth tech companies. For instance, as of mid-2025, the company's enterprise value to trailing 12-month, or EVTTM, sales multiple stood at approximately 36.7 times.
37 times sales. That's rich.
It is substantially higher than those of its direct competitors and even other well-regarded high-growth software companies.
And their price to free cash flow, or PFCF, is also remarkably high. The framework says over 350x. That's an astronomical figure for a profitability metric, even if it's non-GAAP.
Yes, that's quite elevated and certainly draws attention. This reflects the fact that Cloudflare has only relatively recently become free cash flow positive, and the current level of cash flow is still relatively small compared to its large enterprise value. Therefore, this multiple strongly indicates that investors are pricing the stock based on the expectation of a dramatic exponential expansion of free cash flow in the years to come, rather than on their current relatively nascent cash generation. It's a bet on future cash flow, not present cash flow.
Let's compare them directly to some of those peers you mentioned. Where does that 36.7x EVTTM sales really stand out? How does it look versus Akamai or Zscaler?
Okay, looking at the data from the framework, Cloudflare's 36.7x EVTTM sales multiple stands in stark contrast to its closest competitors. If we look at CDN infrastructure peers like Akamai, they're typically trading around 3.7x sales.
3.7 versus 37, huge difference.
Huge! And Fastly is even lower at about 1.7x. Cloudflare's multiple is significantly higher even than high-growth security peers like Zscaler, which is around 16.6x, and CrowdStrike at 28.2x.
Even higher than CrowdStrike?
Slightly higher, yes, despite their revenue growth being comparable to, or even slightly lower than, Zscaler's and CrowdStrike's respective 35% and 33% TTM revenue growth at the time of the report. And even against other highly valued, high-growth infrastructure SaaS companies like Snowflake at 18.4x, and Datadog at 17.7x, Cloudflare's valuation is substantially higher.
Wow.
The sheer premium isn't just about current growth rates. It's a profound statement from the market about perceived future potential.
What's truly fascinating here is that despite these seemingly sky-high multiples, the market is consistently rewarding Cloudflare for its efficient, high-margin business model. And more importantly, its perceived potential to continue growing rapidly into fundamentally new and massive markets. It suggests investors aren't just buying a software company, they're buying a piece of the internet's future infrastructure.
Precisely. The significant premium over its peers, especially over security companies like Zscaler and CrowdStrike, and even over other top-tier infrastructure companies like Snowflake and Datadog, suggests that investors may be pricing in a larger, more durable, and more foundational long-term opportunity. They seem to be viewing Cloudflare not just as another software vendor or a CDN provider, but as a unique, indispensable, neutral operating system or control plane for the internet itself.
The fourth hyperscaler idea again.
Exactly. It's less about a new product line and more about a new architectural paradigm that offers strategic freedom from single vendor lock-in. That's the core insight here. The market is betting on Cloudflare becoming a true fourth pillar of the internet. Hashtag tag, hashtag B, intrinsic valuation scenario analysis. Now, given that Cloudflare isn't yet profitable on a GAAP basis and is still very much in a high growth phase, a traditional discounted cash flow, or DCF, analysis becomes highly sensitive to long-term assumptions about growth rates, margins, terminal values.
Yeah, garbage in, garbage out sometimes with DCFs for growth stocks.
It can be. Rather than producing a single, potentially misleading price target, it's far more instructive and responsible to consider a range of scenarios based on different assumptions about the company's future execution and market dynamics. This helps us understand the potential range of outcomes embedded in that high valuation.
Okay, so we'll consider a bull, a base, and a bear case using the framework's thinking. Let's start with the most optimistic view. What does the bull case look like for Cloudflare? What needs to happen for that high valuation to be truly justified or even look cheap in hindsight?
Okay, in the bull case, we assume Cloudflare successfully executes its ambitious fourth hyperscaler platform strategy with near perfection. This means sustained revenue growth of 25% or even higher for the next 5 to 7 years, driven by widespread adoption of both the Cloudflare One SASE platform for enterprise networking and security and explosive growth in the developer platform, particularly Cloudflare Workers, becoming a default choice for edge compute.
Firing on all cylinders.
We also assume the company achieves significant operating leverage, with non-GAAP operating margins expanding aggressively towards 25% to 30% as their network scale provides further efficiencies. Finally, a durable competitive moat allows for a high terminal growth rate well into the future. In this scenario, the intrinsic value would likely be significantly above the current stock price, fully justifying the premium investors are paying today. It's a vision of them becoming truly indispensable.
That's certainly an exciting picture for investors. What about the more moderate, perhaps more probable base case? What does a realistic but still positive outcome entail?
The base case assumes a more moderate but still successful outcome. Here, revenue growth gradually decelerates from its current rate into the mid to high teens over the next 5 years. The company successfully penetrates the enterprise market, but faces persistent, intense competition that tempers both overall growth and pricing power, preventing those higher-end margins seen in the bull case.
So good growth, but not hyper-growth forever.
Right. Non-GAAP operating margins still expand, but more moderately, perhaps reaching the company's stated long-term target of around 20%. In this scenario, the intrinsic value may be closer to the current market price, suggesting that the market might actually be pricing in something like this outcome as its most likely future right now. It's a steady, solid growth story, but perhaps not the explosive transformation envisioned in the bull case.
And then the dreaded bear case. What are the scenarios that could lead to Cloudflare significantly underperforming, and what would that mean for its valuation given the starting point?
In the bear case, we assume that competitive threats materialize more strongly and rapidly than expected. This could involve aggressive bundling and predatory pricing from hyperscalers commoditizing the edge computing market, while pure-play security vendors successfully defend their turf and make it harder for Cloudflare to gain significant share in SaaS.
The squeeze from both sides.
Exactly. This heightened pressure causes Cloudflare's upmarket momentum to stall, leading revenue growth to slow significantly, perhaps to below 15% within the next 3 years. Margin expansion also stalls or even reverses as the company is forced to compete more aggressively on price, impacting its gross margins. In this scenario, the intrinsic value would be significantly below the current price, as the high valuation multiple would no longer be justifiable, leading to a dramatic and painful re-rating of the stock. It implies Cloudflare might become a valuable but ultimately niche player rather than the foundational platform it aspires to be.
Clearly, an investment in Cloudflare carries significant risks, commensurate with its high growth potential and that very high valuation we just discussed. It's not a set it and forget it stock by any means.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those critical challenges outlined in the research. Hashtag, tag, tag, tag A. Competitive and technological risks.
The most significant long-term risk for Cloudflare is unequivocally the hyperscaler threat. Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud possess immense scale, virtually unlimited capital resources, and deep, entrenched existing customer relationships across almost every enterprise globally.
The 800-pound gorillas.
Absolutely. Their ability to develop and bundle competing edge compute, security, and performance services at a low or even zero incremental cost could severely pressure Cloudflare's pricing power and market share over time. It's a battle against giants who can afford to play the long game and absorb losses in certain areas if it means capturing more of the overall customer wallet. They could essentially offer good enough services for free as part of a larger cloud contract.
That's a scary prospect. And what about pricing pressure across their markets, particularly the older ones like CDN? Is there a risk of commoditization there?
That's the second risk, intensifying pricing pressure. The markets for traditional CDN services and some of the more basic security products are already highly competitive and maturing. As these markets evolve, there's an inherent risk of commoditization, where competitors may engage in aggressive or even predatory pricing strategies simply to win or retain customers.
Worries to the bottom.
Potentially, for some services, this could erode Cloudflare's gross margins despite their current impressive levels and ultimately impact their path to sustained profitability. They have to continuously layer on higher value services to avoid this trap.
And in such a fast-moving industry like internet infrastructure, there's always the risk of a completely new technology coming along that changes the game, right? Technological obsolescence.
That's the very real risk of technology disruption. The internet infrastructure landscape is characterized by rapid and continuous innovation. There's always a risk that a new network architecture, a breakthrough in computing paradigms, or a truly disruptive technology could emerge that renders Cloudflare's current edge-based model less efficient, less cost-effective, or even partially obsolete.
Like what, for example?
Well, for example, if a new form of decentralized computing or perhaps even quantum networking fundamentally alters how data is processed and transmitted in the future, Cloudflare would need to quickly adapt, or its core value proposition could be challenged. They must keep innovating just to stay still, let alone ahead. #TagTagTagTagB execution and macroeconomic risks. Beyond external competitive factors, there are also internal execution challenges and broader macroeconomic risks that Cloudflare must navigate. Cloudflare's ambitious growth strategy heavily depends on its ability to successfully move upmarket and consistently win those massive multi-million dollar enterprise customers. This requires a sophisticated, highly effective, and deeply knowledgeable sales force that can navigate complex organizational structures and procurement processes. Therefore, go-to-market execution risk is significant.
Can they actually sell to the big guys consistently?
That's the question. Any failure to hire, train, or retain a high-performing enterprise sales team could cause growth to decelerate and jeopardize the entire investment thesis centered on upmarket expansion.
And the broader economy always plays a role. Even for mission-critical services, companies tighten their belts in a downturn, don't they?
Indeed. There's significant macroeconomic sensitivity. While many of Cloudflare's services, especially security, are indeed mission-critical, corporate IT budgets are not entirely immune to broader economic conditions. A significant global economic downturn or even prolonged inflation could lead to longer sales cycles, reduced customer spending, delayed implementation of new projects, and potentially higher customer churn if businesses look to cut costs.
Slower deals, smaller deals.
Exactly. All of these would directly impact their revenue and profitability trajectories. They're selling to businesses, and businesses react to economic pressures.
And with their increasing focus on those very large multi-million dollar deals, does that make their quarterly results more volatile? Missing just one or two big deals could have a disproportionate impact, couldn't it?
Yes. There's an inherent large deal dependency risk that increases as they move up market. As the company increasingly relies on closing a relatively smaller number of multi-million dollar enterprise contracts to fuel a larger portion of its growth, its quarterly results may become more volatile and difficult to predict. The delay or loss of even a small number of significant deals in a given quarter, or even just one very large one, could have a material impact on their reported results, potentially causing them to miss analyst expectations and leading to adverse investor sentiment and stock price fluctuations. It puts more pressure on their sales team each quarter. #TagTagC, regulatory and valuation risks. Lastly, we have important regulatory and, of course, valuation risks. Data sovereignty and content moderation are growing, complex challenges. Cloudflare operates as a critical intermediary in a rapidly evolving and often fragmented global regulatory environment.
The internet's traffic cop, sometimes unwillingly.
Right. increasing laws around data localization and digital sovereignty, which dictate where data must be stored and processed, could impose significant compliance costs, necessitate operational adjustments, and expose them to potential legal risks if they are perceived to be non-compliant. Furthermore, their role in content delivery means they are often caught in the crossfire of evolving laws around intermediary liability for content hosted by their customers, adding another layer of legal and reputational risk. Navigating these differing global regulations is a constant tightrope walk.
And that takes us back to the valuation we discussed. It feels like there's a huge amount of risk tied to that premium valuation if anything goes wrong in any of these areas we've covered.
There absolutely is a significant valuation risk. As we detailed earlier, Cloudflare stock trades at a very high valuation multiple, especially when compared to its peers. This premium prices in a high degree of future growth and implicitly assumes near-perfect execution across all their strategic fronts.
No room for error.
Very little. The stock is therefore highly sensitive to any changes in growth expectations, any perceived stumble in execution, or broader shifts in market sentiment towards high-growth tech. Any of these factors could risk a rapid and significant decline in the stock price, as the market would no longer justify such an aggressive multiple. The margin for error is incredibly slim at these valuation levels.
The quality of leadership is always critical, especially for an innovation-driven, high-growth company like Cloudflare that's trying to redefine fundamental internet infrastructure. They are, after all, founder-led, which often brings both advantages and unique considerations.
That's generally seen as a strong point in their favor, particularly in the tech world. Cloudflare benefits immensely from being a founder-led company, with co-founders Matthew Prince as CEO and Michelle Zatlyn as president and COO.
Still there since the beginning.
Exactly. They've been at the helm since its inception in 2009, which provides incredible consistency of vision, a deep intrinsic understanding of the company's technology, and a powerful, almost personal commitment to the mission of building a better internet. This long-term continuity at the top is invaluable for executing such an ambitious multi-decade vision.
And Matthew Prince, the CEO, has a pretty unique background, doesn't he? It's not just a typical tech CEO profile. I remember reading about that.
He truly does, and it's remarkably well-suited to the complex challenges Cloudflare faces. Matthew Prince possesses a unique and highly relevant interdisciplinary background, holding degrees in computer science, a Juris Doctor, JD, from the University of Chicago, and an MBA from Harvard Business School.
CS, law, and business. Quite the combo.
It is. This combination of expertise in technology, law, and business is exceptionally well-suited to navigating the intricate strategic, technical, and regulatory challenges that Cloudflare encounters globally, particularly around data sovereignty and content moderation. Public statements and interviews suggest he is a leader with a deep technical grasp, a long-term perspective focused on innovation, and a clear, almost missionary vision for the company's pivotal role in the internet's future.
And they've brought in other key people too, right?
Yes. The executive team has been strategically strengthened with key hires in recent years, like Mark Anderson for Enterprise Go-to-Market, whom we mentioned, and a new chief security officer in 2023, underscoring their focus on maturing the company's internal security posture as they grow. #B corporate governance and shareholder alignment.
So while the leadership appears strong and uniquely qualified, the governance structure always deserves some attention, particularly for public investors. There's a dual-class share structure, which can sometimes raise eyebrows regarding shareholder rights.
It does, and it's an important consideration for investors. Cloudflare utilizes a dual-class share structure. This is a common practice among founder-led technology companies and typically allows founders to retain control and pursue long-term visions without undue pressure from short-term market fluctuations.
10 votes per share for insiders.
Exactly. Their Class B common stock, held primarily by founders, executives, and early investors, is entitled to 10 votes per share compared to just one vote per share for the publicly traded Class A common stock. This structure effectively concentrates voting control in the hands of insiders, significantly limiting the ability of public shareholders to influence corporate matters, including the election of directors, major strategic decisions, or even M&A activities.
So public shareholders have less say.
Correct. For some investors, this is a red flag, as it can reduce accountability to public shareholders, while others view it as a necessary evil to foster long-term innovation and prevent hostile takeovers. It's a trade-off.
And what about insider ownership and trading? Is that something that investors should be watching for potential signals, or is it just routine?
Well, founders and key executives do maintain significant ownership stakes in the company, ensuring their interests are largely aligned with the company's long-term success, which is generally positive. At the same time, it's important to note that they often use Rule 10b5-1 trading plans.
Those pre-scheduled selling plans.
Right. These are pre-arranged, automated stock sales plans that allow corporate insiders to sell a predetermined number of shares at a specific time or price, even if they later come into material non-public information. While such plans are standard practice for executives to achieve personal liquidity and diversification, and are designed to avoid accusations of insider trading, the optics of consistent insider selling can be interpreted in two ways.
How so?
A more bearish view might see it as a subtle lack of confidence in significant further upside, while a more neutral view would consider it prudent personal financial planning and diversification for individuals with most of their wealth tied to a single company.
Fair enough.
Investors should definitely monitor the company's annual proxy statements for updated details on executive ownership and compensation to assess ongoing alignment with public shareholders and look for any unusual patterns outside of these preset plans. Hashtag X. Investment thesis and key indicators to monitor.
So after this extensive deep dive, pulling all these threads together, the investment case for Cloudflare is clearly high stakes, with incredibly compelling arguments on both sides. It really comes down to which future plays out the ambitious bull case or the more challenging bear case.
Let's summarize the bull thesis again. It posits that Cloudflare is successfully executing a visionary platform strategy to become a new, neutral pillar of internet infrastructure, standing right alongside the three dominant public clouds, AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud.
The big dream.
Exactly. Proponents believe that Cloudflare's deeply integrated platform, its powerful network effects, and its relentless innovation velocity will enable it to capture a significant share of the massive and converging markets for security, enterprise networking, and edge computing. The recent string of large enterprise wins, particularly those landmark deals for its SaaS and developer platforms like the $100 workers contract, are viewed as powerful early validation points of this thesis.
Proof points.
In this view, Cloudflare is not just a collection of products, but is becoming the indispensable programmable control plane for the internet itself, providing a crucial neutral layer of abstraction and control above the underlying infrastructure. This is the big defining vision. The counter thesis, or the bear case, argues that Cloudflare's ambitious three-front war is ultimately unwinnable and that the company risks being stretched too thin across too many competitive battles.
Fighting too many battles at once.
Potentially. Bears believe that its core CDN business faces inevitable commoditization. Its security offerings will be outflanked by the deep focus and specialized features of pure-play specialists like Zscaler. And its nascent developer platform will ultimately be unable to compete effectively with the sheer scale, capital, and ecosystem advantages of the existing hyperscalers. They argue that while Cloudflare offers a good Swiss Army knife, it won't be best in class at everything.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
That's the bear argument. Yeah. Furthermore, the stock's extremely high valuation is seen as a major vulnerability, leaving absolutely no room for error in execution. In this scenario, any stumbles in execution or a significant intensification of competitive pressure will lead to a dramatic and painful re-rating of the stock, ultimately relegating Cloudflare to a valuable but ultimately niche player rather than the foundational fourth hyperscaler it aspires to be. Hashtag TAG, hashtag C. Key performance indicators, KPIs, for thesis validation.
So for us, the listener who wants to keep an eye on Cloudflare's journey, how do we track which of these futures is playing out? What are the clear, actionable, key performance indicators we should be watching in their earnings reports and public announcements to see if the bull or bear case is winning?
Okay. There are several clear, actionable KPIs to monitor closely that will tell you if the bull or bear case is gaining traction. First, and arguably most important for validating their enterprise strategy, is large customer growth, specifically those contributing over $1 million in annual recurring revenue.
The million-dollar plus customers.
Exactly. Sustained, robust, high growth in this cohort. Remember that 47% growth figure is essential for the bull case, validating their ability to win and expand within large enterprises. Second, keep a very close eye on developer platform momentum. Monitor for more announcements of large, multi-million-dollar contracts specifically driven by the Cloudflare Workers platform. The ability to consistently replicate that recent over $100 million deal, or even secure multiple deals in the tens of millions, would be critical validation for the fourth hyperscaler narrative and its ability to capture significant developer spend.
What about financial health metrics beyond just raw revenue? How can we tell if they're progressing towards profitability and efficient scale? What should we track there?
For financial health, free cash flow, FCF margin expansion is crucial. Continued steady expansion of the FCF margin, showing that a larger percentage of their revenue is turning into cash, is necessary for proving the long-term profitability and scalability of the business model. A stall or reversal in this trend would be a significant red flag, indicating potential underlying efficiency issues or unexpected costs.
Got it. FCF margin.
Another important metric, though its importance is evolving, as we discussed, is dollar-based net retention, DBNRR. While it may fluctuate due to their larger initial deals, a significant or sustained decline below the 110% level could signal broader weakness in their ability to expand existing accounts, or worse, increase churn in the customer base. Stability or a gradual uptick, however, would be a positive sign of platform stickiness and continued expansion within accounts.
And finally, any other key growth areas or structural health indicators we should monitor? Anything else to keep on the dashboard?
Yes, two more. First, international revenue growth. Track the acceleration of growth rates in the EEA, Europe, Middle East, Africa, and Asia Pacific regions relative to the U.S. market. Continued outperformance here is necessary to demonstrate that their global expansion strategy is bearing fruit and successfully diversifying their revenue base, reducing geographic concentration risk.
Diversification check.
And lastly, gross margin stability is key. Any significant or sustained erosion of non-JAP gross margins below the company's 75% to 77% target range could indicate rising competitive pricing pressure, particularly in their more commoditized CDN or basic security services, or a negative shift in product mix toward lower margin offerings. A decline here would be a significant signal of trouble ahead, impacting their long-term profitability targets.
#tag outro.
Okay, wow. We've unpacked a huge amount here, diving deep into Cloudflare's fascinating journey. We started with their relatively humble beginnings as a content delivery network and traced their remarkable transformation into this sprawling connectivity cloud.
Quite a story.
We've explored the intricate web of technologies, the tension between its massive ambition and the formidable multi-front competition it faces from all sides. It's really complex. Indeed. Cloudflare is attempting to position itself as a truly foundational layer for the internet, a neutral space, perhaps a fourth hyperscaler in a world increasingly dominated by a handful of established tech giants. It's a high-stakes, incredibly ambitious strategic position that could fundamentally reshape the future of the internet.
And this, for you, our listener, truly raises an important, even provocative question for us all to consider. Considering Cloudflare's unique position of cloud neutrality and its stated mission to help build a better internet, what does it truly mean for the internet's future if a fourth hyperscaler emerges that isn't tied to a single cloud provider or a single corporate ecosystem? How might this fundamentally change innovation by fostering more openness, affect competition by providing a truly independent alternative, or even impact global digital sovereignty in the coming years by offering a more distributed, less centralized control plane for the world's information? What, for you, is the biggest what-if for Cloudflare's audacious vision? Something to mull over until our next deep dive.